they've forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. That's back to Numbers 22, 23, 24. A prophet that knew God, but he let money and popularity ruin him. So he said, these are just like Balaam. They love the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 18, they speak great swelling words of vanity, and they allure through the lust of the flesh. Oh, if you come over here, you women can wear pants. You can cut your hair off like a man. You can put on your little old flimsy thing about like two Band-Aids and go out to the beach on Memorial Day. Because God don't look at the outward appearance. He looks only at the heart. The stinking liars. They lie unto God's people, just like Ezekiel 13 said they did. Jeremiah 23, I think it's verse 18, he said, out of the prophets from the province of Jerusalem have gone profaneness throughout all the land. See, that means profaneness. That means an irreverence, a disrespect for everything that God pronounces holy. They have no regard for it. And through words of vanity, they allure you through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. That means unruliness, no discipline, no government over you. Them that were clean escaped from them. See, when you get out from under that discipline, you are open prey for these sharpshooters. And they are expert marksmen. If you see little badges on them up here, that means they're expert marksmen. They get you from a long distance. Yeah, they'll get you. When you reject discipline, you want to get out and be unruly and have it your way. Then God says they'll get you, those that were clean escaped from them, who go out and live in error. These are the ones that they prey upon and have success in saying, come into my parlor, said the spider to the fly. Why, you're the nicest little thing I ever did fry. Come on up here. Now, you look juicy and sweet, and I'm going to get you. And you just go on in there, and you've got. See, they promise him liberty, verse 19, but they themselves are the servants of corruption. There's that word again. Lord, have mercy. They'll others perish in their own corruption. Here it says they're the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. When these guys overcome you, you're his slave. Your money will work for him. You'll work for him to lead you to your destruction. Have you ever thought of what would happen if God don't find a man? What if God don't find a man to stand in the gap? And you don't find a man to follow that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge and be bold for his God. And don't court the popularity of the people that are, they respond to his message. What would happen to you if you don't find such a man? Well, here's one scripture. I want you to show you this in Jeremiah, the 12th chapter. First I want to show you one in chapter 15, and I'm going to chapter 12. Jeremiah 15 and 7. God says, I am weary with repenting. I will fan them with a fan in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people since they return not from their ways. God said, I'll destroy my own people when they don't return from their ways. How are you going to cleanse your way? David made this great comment, I think, that is very enlightening to you and I and should be taken very solemnly. In Psalm 80, verse 17, he said, Lord, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou mayest strong for thyself, so will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we'll call upon thy name. God said, hey, Lord, we need a man to stand at your right hand that will keep us from going back on thee. Now, he had the same trouble Jeremiah did, for listen to this. Jeremiah 12 and verse 10. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. It's the preachers. God, all through this book, puts the finger right on the very cause of the breach and the wretched, sordid condition of the church and the laity today. It's the preachers. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They've trodden my portion underfoot. They've made my desolate portion a desolate, my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and be it being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man, there it is again, no man layeth it to heart. All right, there's one almost like it again in the 10th chapter of Jeremiah. It's right close. Verse 21. For the pastors are become brutish. They have not sought the Lord. You find a praying preacher today. I don't mean one that gets up here in front of everybody. Almighty God, our heavenly Father. I don't mean that kind of mess. God have mercy. That ain't from right here out. I'm talking about a praying preacher. Somebody gets off and prays and seeks God and pours out his heart and waits till God touches him and speaks to him about you folks. Where do you find one of them birds? They don't hardly make them anymore. You need to tell me. I don't know what I'm talking about. I've lived around preachers all my life. I've had them look at me in the church of God and the assemblies of God and others and say, listen, I don't pray a lick and I can still preach as good as better than you can. With contempt. But that was 30 years ago. What do you think it's degenerated into now? Preachers pray. They don't pray. They watch TV and gallivant to the golf course and to the snack bars and to the buffets and smorgasbords. And that's what they're looking for. The old gut pooched out there. Boy, they're fasting, praying fellas, aren't they? I don't have no respect for them. I want them to know it. Don't you think I don't let them know it too? A man of God, to be a man of God, must be a praying man, and he must be a fasting man. If he don't fast, he's as carnal as old leg gag. You mark that down for the time to come forever. He's got to fast and pray both. Somebody's got to stand in the gap and stop the drift of God's people. Amen. Somebody didn't do it back there 20 years ago. That's the reason the church today is the carnal, Laodicean, and lukewarm, and spewed out of the mouth of Christ and world conforming in every detail. Amen. The preachers have rebelled against the Word of God. They don't want it. I preach for them in these Pentecostal churches, and they look at me. When I got out of the pulpit, they didn't like what I preached. Then when we'd go home, they'd get an easy chair and flop in front of the TV, and I'd try to talk to them about the Bible or something like that. They'd say, listen here, bud. You don't preach tonight. I don't want to hear no more about the Bible until tomorrow night. I've heard that so many times. Or I don't pray a lick, and I can still preach better than you can. Yeah, they can speak. They got them old great swelling words of vanity. Say, so, yep, you're right. I've been around plenty of Pentecostal and holiness preachers per se. And they'd pull out from under the floor mat of the car a package of cigarettes and go down the street smoking. Here, Ray, have a cool. You got to have something to calm your nerves. I've got one of these preachers retreat. You ought to see them out there what to do. Some of them with pipes, some of them with their liquor bottles, some of them with their gals and everything else. And the layman sitting around, you can't talk that about my preacher.
This is the end of side one. Please turn your cassette over for side two at this time.